I shared a story at Gabriella's baby dedication last week, and it's I want to conjure up a memory for all of you from something that happened in our church about 10 years ago. We had a church retreat, and Josef Berthold was there, and he started off with this very interesting story, joke that he told to us, and see if you remember this. He said, "There's a story I'm going to tell you that has four parts. Four parts. You ready for this four-part story? First part of the story, husband and wife driving down the road in the car. The wife's driving the car. Husband's in the passenger side. The husband says to the wife, "Don't you think you're driving a little bit too fast?" And the wife says to the husband, "Are you driving this car? Or am I driving this car?" Second part of the story, they're home. And the husband is cooking in the kitchen. And the wife comes in and says to the husband, "Don't you think you ought to add a little more garlic to that soup?" And the husband says, "Are you cooking this meal or am I cooking this meal?" And then Josef said, "And now the fourth part of the story." And that's exactly what Audrey did. And Josef looked at him and he said, "Are you telling this story or am I telling this story?" And you can always predict who's going to be the one to interrupt to help. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, no one can tell that like Josef, you know. But do you remember, it's just a fun story. Do you remember, as I reflected on that whole story, that is such an important question for every single one of us. Are you telling this story or am I telling this story? I believe God is asking each and every one of us, are you telling this story or am I telling this story? Because our lives are a story that God is trying to tell. That my niece Gabriella, God has an amazing story that God wants to tell through her life. And the question that I posed for my brother and his wife and everybody else in the church was, you know, when we have a child like this, we say, are we going to try to tell that child's story? Or are we going to get out of the way? And of course, parents have a very significant role. Are we going to allow God to tell the story that God wants to tell through Gabriella's life as she entrusts her life to the Lord? And so the question I want to hold before us today, as we think about our congregation's life, God is telling a story through Grafdale Mennonite Church. It's a story that is to give honor and glory to the Lord. And I think we need to be regularly asked. We hear God asking us, are you telling the story, Tom, or whoever else? Or is God telling the story? And we think about that personally in so many ways. Are you telling the story of your life? Or are you allowing God to tell that story of your life? And that's what Austin and Janelle are experiencing. Are you telling the story? Or is God telling the story? And what a beautiful thing it is when we allow God to tell our story. You know, you think about the prodigal son. The prodigal son is there, and he is in his father's house, and he gets this idea, you know what? This story I'm a part of, no good. Give me my share of the inheritance, and he goes out and he starts to try to tell his own story, and you know where it ends up? He ends up in poverty, and when he comes in great need, the Bible says he returned to himself. It's as if he came back to the real story that God was trying to tell through his life. Or as the scriptures say, if you want to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for God's sake, you will find it. In other words, if you die to your own story and embrace God's story, that's where we find our true fulfillment and true life. I need to hear that all the time from God. Are you telling the story or am I telling the story? The scripture we are looking at today in First Things First, we're doing this series on First Things First, priorities of God, that if you don't put the first things in first, the other things won't fit. And the scripture that says, the first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, loving God is a command. But have you ever stopped to think about how you know if you're being obedient to that command or not? Am I loving God? You know, this week we had some internet issues here at church, and Jim Evans was here, and he was running some tests. And it was really cool that he was able to say, we are getting 1.6 megabytes of download speed, and we're supposed to have 6, so we're going to have to work on that. but he could run a test, I don't know how he did it, and could come up with that number of what the download speed is. Wouldn't it be great if you had an app that you could have on your heart in some ways that would tell you how much you're loving God? You come out of a worship time, or maybe you've been serving downtown with the Salvation Army or whatever it may be, and you say, and you see your love meter go way up. I'm really loving God. I'm up to 3.8 mega love-a-gottabytes, whatever it is. Wouldn't that be great? But we know it's not like that. It's not measurable. And don't we love things we can measure? You know, when Kaylee and I were on the trail this summer, when you see the miles click off, they were in kilometers over there, but now we're here and we have this many to go. We like measurements. We like to know how well we're doing. And it's why I like mowing grass so much. I know what I did, and I know what I didn't do. I like shoveling snow to some extent. Here's what I did, here's what I didn't do. Ministry's not like that. Ministry sometimes says, what does it mean? Am I accomplishing anything? That's a common thing we experience. What does it mean to love God? And how do we know if we are loving God in a way that we are called to? And I really believe, and I'll just keep this really brief, the most significant thing we need to think about when it comes to loving God is that it doesn't begin with us. It begins with God. Did you ever think about a car? You have a Trevor mechanic, budding mechanic here. Beautiful car, beautiful engine. But if you don't have a battery, now this much I know about cars. There has to be something outside that gasoline engine to give it some spark to get it going. An electrical system must be there. A battery must be there. And, you know, you can do all kinds of things to try to show that you love God, but until you have received the love of God, you're not going anywhere. We love God because God first loved us. And that is so profoundly important. And if we don't grasp that, then we end up like the speaker who was talking to us this weekend at our district retreat. He said, there's so many people out there, missionaries, pastors, whatever, who are ministering out of a woundedness where somehow they never felt like they measured up, and so somehow they have to prove to God that they love God enough or that they're worthy, or there's a lot of people who are ministering out of woundedness. And the most important thing for all of us to experience is how much God loves you. That you have to start there. And when it says, when the scripture says we are to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we need to allow God to love us in each one of these areas before you can love God with those areas. Think about your emotions. You need to allow God to love you at an emotional level. To allow God to love your emotions. And there's all kinds of ways that happens. One of the ways it happens is in worship. And sometimes, you know, you'll come into a time of worship and you won't even feel like it. And you feel condemnation or guilt, or here you are worshiping and you don't even feel like it. That's the very precise place where you can most receive from worship. As you allow God to touch your heart without forcing it. And sometimes it might mean you just need to be there and allow God to reassure you of his love for you. We need to allow God to love our minds. To love our minds. And I believe there's so many ways that happens, but it happens through reading the scriptures and allowing, and some scriptures, you know, you go to the book of Romans, you know, and there it's a complex kind of book, a complex kind of theology there, but it is feeding your mind with the truth of God. You know, it says in Ephesians, you know, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus. That we love God because God first loved us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved you before you were even able to make a move. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, and God loved you. And we need to find ways to allow God to love us. You know, Dylan Hoover, I mentioned him before, he is the leader of the program Kaylee's with in Costa Rica, Vida 220. And he is very inclined toward the charismatic stream, which is wonderful. But he's also, and he posts very often, he reads Oswald Chambers every single day. How many of you are familiar with Oswald Chambers? Anyway, it's heavy, deep stuff. And often DeLynn will post something from Oswald Chambers, and it really strikes me as a very significant thing for a guy like DeLynn, who is allowing God to love his mind, even as he very naturally allows God to love his emotions. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who, it's been a while since I mentioned him, but he was a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant theologian in Germany, and he was recognized at a very young age. By the time he was 23, 24, he was world-recognized as a theologian. He had a mind like few other people. And he came to New York City to teach at a seminary, and he wanted to get out and experience the culture, and he went and visited some African-American churches. He went to visit some churches in Harlem, and it was there that he first experienced faith in Jesus Christ going from his mind, his head, to his heart. And he was never the same. Never the same. I ran into a mentor of mine this past week, Irvin Stutzman. He baptized me in 1987. He signed my seminary diploma in 2005. He's been significant in my life. And he was talking, I love talking preaching with Irvin, because he was my teacher. And he's still learning. He's 65, but he's still learning and growing. And he told me, he said, I have a carpet square right by my desk in my study. He said, and I'll be working and studying and learning. And you know, he's a guy that loves to expand his mind, to feed his mind. But he said, every time I preach, he said, there comes a point where I have to get down on my knees on that carpet. And I cry out to the Lord. And I say, God, would you please bridge the gap between my mind and my heart? And he said different times as he's preparing to preach, he'll say to his wife, he says, it hasn't gone to my heart yet. Pray that it does. You don't have to be a preacher to hear this, that the gospel is to impact us at every level. Mind, soul, emotions. God wants to love you at every area of your life. And the last one here I want to focus, and this is really where God is particularly speaking to me at this time in my life. What does it mean to love God with all your strength, or to allow God to love you in your area of strength? You talk about your physical body or your emotional, your strength, whatever that means. And it goes back, this is where God's speaking to me. God gave his people a command. He said, you are no longer slaves. I brought you out of Egypt. You are no longer a slave, and therefore I'm giving you a gift, and it's called Sabbath. Rest. This is me showing you I love you. You're no longer a slave. You are a child of God, and therefore you need one day where you think about in a very intentional way how much I love you, where you are reminded that your value does not come from what you do or achieve, or what your title is or responsibility is. No, on the Sabbath, you remember you're a child of God, and you worship with deep gratitude and joy, and you allow God to love you. And then the remaining 6 days, then, you live out of that love in a new way. That when you practice a weekly Sabbath, then you then are able to incorporate the realities of rest and Sabbath into the rest of your working week. Because you're working not as a slave, but as a beloved child of your Heavenly Father. And here's my confession. I have gotten sloppy with Sabbath. No one's responsibility except mine to be attentive to that. And I believe God is calling me in a new way to prioritize Sabbath. And so tomorrow I've decided I'm going back to one of my favorite places. I'm going to the Jesuit Center tomorrow. Just to be. I'm not going to take my to-do list, even though I have this really cool app on my phone that's a to-do list. I could tell you all about that, but Joyce and Austin know about that. No. Tomorrow is a day to be loved by God. And I want to challenge each and every one of us. This is a command by a God who loves you. And if you're not taking Sabbath in a meaningful way, I challenge you, inspire you, to do that, even as I feel like God is calling me to walk in obedience to that in a new way. And I believe abundant life comes as we follow into God's commands. The honey that God gives, that the children of Israel, the children were given. Know God loves you. God's ways are sweet. God cares about us. And again, I just come back to the beginning as I close here. God is saying to each of one of us, are you telling this story or am I telling this story? God wants to tell our story. God is so faithful. God can be trusted. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Amen and be blessed.